Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
This interview will contain spoilers for seasons 1 and 2, so please be sure to listen to those before we talk about it. Hey everyone, welcome to the special interview episode featuring the voices of Dr. Nolira Eck, Siobhan Lumsden, and Ali Tanya Milojevic, as well as Caitlin Statz, the writer, and myself. We're doing a digital interview in real time on Zoom.
Nice to meet you guys. Like, this is the first time we're kind of all speaking live.
Yeah.
For me, anyway.
I feel like I'm listening to Vast Horizon right now. This is cool.
Hello, Ali.
Hello, Nolira. Looks like we meet again.
So to clarify, this is the first time we're actually speaking in person-ish through Zoom. I hear your voices all the time, but you never actually talk back to me when I'm editing your voices. But we've never actually, like, talked.
I know. Just some, I think some voice notes via Facebook Messenger, but otherwise, you've just been editing my voice for 2 years now.
Oh, I follow Siobhan on Instagram, so I always see pictures of her travels and things that she's up to, and books, lots of books. It's fun. I mean, it's mostly, what is Siobhan reading today? And it's usually something great.
Oh, I need to share more about what I'm reading, actually. I'm reading a lot. I actually had to go back and read some of the scripts because I was like, oh my goodness, I've been reading so many books that even my mind with like season one, especially, I had to go back and do a bit of a refresher.
Oh, because it's so long ago. We do everything in seasons. It's been years.
Yeah.
You think it's only a year, but it's, oh my God, it's been a while.
I know. It seems like yesterday, but then you look back at the dates and you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's just what happens when you're living in a house and never get to leave.
Yeah. We actually had a few questions exactly regarding this. So the question asks, we all recorded the entire production at home, basically alone with just a script for guidance. Hearing your voices in the context of the first episode, what was that like for both of you?
For me, hearing Tanya's voice, hearing the AI.
And then hearing yourself also on like a spaceship and sort of all the breathing you had to do and cut up sequences come together with the words. And
it was pretty bizarre, I think. Just remembering the recording experience, especially of season one, like all of the crawling, and it was pretty intense. So then, yeah, listening back, it's weird, especially like listening with my partner as well. He was like, this is you. Like, this is so, you know, he just saw me after when I had like mascara running down my face because I was properly crying. I didn't even realize some of the time. So it was pretty cool to listen back.
How about you, Tanya?
For me, too, I was amazed with the realistic. First of all, with Nolira's character, Siobhan, you did an amazing job with sounding genuine, believable, and just like you had no idea what was going on. You were taking the audience through the journey just as much as your character was going through it. The audience was learning with you. So the sound design and the acting blew me away. And also I listened with my partner and he was like, the AI was like, wow, this doesn't even sound like you at all. The filters were amazing. I hadn't heard some of those filters ever before in audio drama. So, Travis, the fact that you were able to just ingeniously sound design that whole sequence really kept me kind of riveted. And because it's a couple of months between when we record and hear it, hearing which takes were chosen and kind of going off of the pattern that I started doing as the AI with trying to say certain words the same way, because I picked up on the mixing, the takes that were being chosen, the similar endings of sentences and things that the AI would say, or the beginning, like yes, for example. I started emulating that when recording. So it was kind of like a synchronized effort with all of us, and the writing being what it is made the story extremely riveting, and that the cliffhangers at the end of the episodes, you're like, no, that's it. I want to hear more. So just hearing the first episode, I was hooked.
Yeah, me too.
Yes, it worked.
Did hearing them actually influence how you acted at the end or later?
Yeah, my intention as I saw with the writing and heard the different takes that you chose, personally, I was thinking that I wanted to give a balance where the AI was slowly becoming sentient over time, but really you still believed that it was an artificial intelligence. But then it sometimes surprised you and sounded a little bit more human, especially when it gave opinions.
Mm.
So I was just mainly personally trying to get that balance as good as possible, because I would want to hear that as a listener.
How about you, Siobhan, with the changes and the things happening with Nolira?
Following her character development, like learning more about her as I recorded her and kind of watching her morph. And especially the first few episodes, they were pretty emotional and things. And then as we move forward, it kind of shifted. So that was pretty cool to see.
Also, Caitlin, I like the fact that you made it so that we don't really know for a long time if Poe is in her head or
yes.
if she's really there, a ghost. And I tried to also emulate that with the AI, where like, does the AI know more than it's letting on, or what's going on? Just keeping that mystery as well to go along with your mystery about Poe.
The way that we get to use audio as well, because we're not playing with any visuals, we're just using the voices, and the way that Travis is able to mix it all to make it sound like someone is physically there. It's one of the wonders. It's one of the things I love about when I write horror, is that people get to play with what they're hearing in their mind. And the same thing with Poe. And I think it just went so well. And I think, again, like what Tanya was saying, like Travis gets to use all these amazing filters and throw sounds around in a way that just makes it sound exactly the way that I'm thinking of it when I'm writing it out. And then you guys put these amazing voices to it, and it turns out perfect.
It's also been really fun secretly when I was going through season one and two, I would find my favorite instance of that word and copy and paste it throughout the entirety of the season. That was quite fun.
Dr. Nolira Eck, can you hear me? Do you require assistance? Medical crew is currently unavailable to assist you.
Because of the rising panic, every time you say something...
The heart rate continues to increase. Do you require assistance? Medical crew is currently unavailable
to assist you. My damned legs...
I have a script for your character, Tanya. It's just a bunch of things that Allie says all the time, because I want her to say it in the same way every single time, mm-hmm. so I don't, like, rewrite the sentence. So I just have a script of script inserts. Because I don't want those variations until later in the season, where she's starting to break away from like that AI patterning. Yeah, you guys just do such a great job at it. I don't know a lot about Siobhan's history with voice acting, but I don't know if this was your first like big character, like a main character. That's my question then. How did you get into voice acting, Siobhan?
I've always done acting, but mainly theater. And then when I was living in China in 2011, I just saw this job advertised to do voice acting for animation. And I'd never really thought about it before as a career. And so I auditioned, I got the job. And yeah, that was kind of how that started. And I've mainly done voice acting for animation and theme parks. So this was my first big kind of main role. And especially in an audio drama, like this is my first experience of doing an audio drama. So thank you. It's been amazing.
Well, you knocked it out of the park. So thank you.
That's really cool. You did theme parks. I'm curious as well, what sort of voices did you do for that?
Mainly it was just like the usual, like if you're entering, so it's theme parks across China, like when you enter the park, like kind of the rules and regulations and like the voiceover just before you kind of get on a roller coaster, you know, fasten your seatbelt, this kind of thing. And then also some of the rides, like the 4D rides and things, just some voices. There was like one set in space back in like 2012. So that was quite cool as well. So not my first sci-fi journey.
Oh, that's so cool though.
Yeah. I need to actually go to one of those theme parks at some point post-COVID and wait to hear my voice. I think that would be bizarre.
Just point to a speaker.
So cool.
See, that's me.
Yeah.
Tanya, just so we have also an understanding, because we I think this is our first interview with you, actually, despite us talking with you a lot in real life and in person and such, which is so strange for us, fun and so missed. How did you get into voice acting?
I got into voice acting by accident as well. It stemmed from my love of movies, audio dramas, and also when I was a kid, I always wanted to do some kind of acting because it was fun and telling stories was always, I always loved listening to them, and wanted to tell them as well and kind of emulate what I liked in different actors. So I always thought it would be most important to sound as realistic, at, you know, as believable rather as you can when you're acting, and try to put that into my learning of it and improvement. So I came across audio drama when I was in high school by accident and pursued listening to as much as I could, and then found independent audio drama through, it was a website called Voice Acting Alliance back then. Now it's a Facebook group, and started auditioning for anything and everything with a really bad microphone, just like a line in, you know, condenser mic. It was terrible quality, and eventually just learned and got better and networked. And I did, for the past like 10 years, I've been different audio dramas and podcasts, and did some couple things for Audible. And now I'm doing some audio description tracks for the blind and visually impaired audiences. It's a track that explains kind of what's going on in a show between dialogue, costume changes, and facial expressions, and any action of note. It describes, it gives you that additional narration. A lot of people turn it on Netflix if they're washing dishes or doing something where they're not watching the screen too. So it makes it almost like an audiobook experience. So I've been doing a little bit of that. And honestly, whatever projects I encounter that I like, or shows or whatever, I reach out and I'm just like, hey, this is great. Like, if you need more voices, let me know, that kind of thing. I just mainly think the best part about it is the collaboration between everyone, the writers, the mixer, the sound designers, the actors, and it's like making a mural together. It's great.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part.
I enjoy painting that mural, and thank you both for lending your voices. It really is a lot of fun to work with both of you.
Thank you. Same here.
Some of the questions that we're asking are questions that we actually got from fans on like Twitter and Discord and stuff like that. So we have just like a list of them. But thinking of it as a mural is actually a really wonderful thing. I still love that because podcasting is so small scale for what we're doing. Like, you really get to know your team, and Travis hears people's voices all day, every day. And by the time he actually speaks with them in person, he feels like he's already known them for
a while.
These parasocial relationships.
With all the ticks.
What's the most difficult part of recording for you? What was the most difficult part for you to record? How about that for both of you?
The beginning of season one. like I said earlier, like all of the crawling and like the pain, you know, she was in so much pain in the first few episodes. So really like getting that across. And then also when everyone's obviously listened to this, who's going to listen to this episode, I don't want to like give anything away, but in case there's new listeners. But I think like when she realized like it was a recording of Poe, like she, like, I think it was episode 5 of season 1. It was actually pretty emotional. I was genuinely upset about that. Like, when I came out of recording. Yeah, I really felt the emotion. But yeah, all of the breathing and the running and the crawling and falling down that shaft. And yeah, that was pretty challenging, I would say.
Which, again, I must reiterate, because it was your first main character, you did an amazing job.
Thanks.
You did. It was incredible, the variancy in the breathing and the running and things, because you were basically had to record on your own with no one to play work off of. So that must have been just a different experience from your theater background too.
Very different, actually. And I had been doing some like podcasts, but always like with friends and things. So it was kind of the first time just recording on my own, and there's no visuals like with animation, you know, I'm so used to dubbing. So it was, but I loved it. It was, you know, you could really get into the character. That was like one of the most fun parts.
Yeah. And for me also, getting into the character was so much fun. I use screen readers generally to access like the computer and be able to read documents and access the internet. So I'm used to hearing AI continuously and on my phone and all this stuff. So getting to record in AI was like a dream come true. When Travis and when you guys, you and Caitlin, let me know that I was going to get the role, I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. Like, it was an incredible opportunity that I'm so grateful for, because I've always wanted to kind of play an AI that slowly became sentient. You know, again, not to give anything away to new listeners, but just in AI with depth. So that was fun. And then in terms of the most challenging part, I guess I would say probably toward the end of season one, when there was that standoff, I don't want to give too much.
I think people have heard it by now. You'll be okay. Good. You'll be good.
I think we'll put like a thing at the beginning that says, this contains spoilers for seasons one and two.
We'll be okay.
Yeah, definitely. Episodes, I think it was 9 and 10 of season one, where I was taking control of, you know, Nalira's arm and she couldn't move it. And then I immobilized Sanan and took control of the gun. That was cool because, but challenging also because of that balance that I mentioned earlier, trying to get that right, where I didn't sound too sinister or happy about the fact that I had control, but just enough to where you could detect it a little bit and leave it up to the imagination.
That was a lot of fun. I think I've cried during most of the episodes, not all of them, but like every two or three, it's just like you get punched, like you're listening and you're like,
yeah.
And the performances have just been really emotionally impactful. And for me, kind of going through certain parts, like where there's the terrorist event activity, and it's like that sort of brought up 9/11 feelings for me. Season two just goes all over the place.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. I have not had too many dry eyes when editing the show. And usually I have to take a few minutes to just like be alone after.
It's emotional, definitely. A lot of episodes. And I feel really bad for Nalira.
I would often come out of recording, and honestly, my partner Dane, he was so shocked that I could be like so upset from recording. And like I also had to take some time. I had to lie down and like transition from Nalira back to Siobhan before I could go to sleep, because I usually recorded quite late in the evening. So that was fun.
I can relate to that. After I record and do an exciting character session or what have you, I'm like wound up, and usually I record in the evening as well. So I just need some time to like unwind and go to sleep too.
Yeah.
Do you have any rituals for getting into or out of character, by the way? That was a question.
Oh.
Yes, I probably just as a funny thing, I say a line. So like I'll say, you know, medical crew is currently unavailable to assist you, or something like that, that I say a lot in the show. And then that gets me back into the character.
I have quite a small recording booth. And when I've kind of closed the doors and I just have little fairy lights on the roof, I feel like I'm in space. So I feel like as soon as I closed the doors of my booth, I was like alone on the Bifrost. So I just imagined that I was like in the Bifrost when I shut the doors. And then I was, yeah, I was there. That was Nalira.
So you have a lot of whimsical projects that you work on. What are projects that you both are working on apart from Vast Horizon?
So I'm always recording cartoons for this company I work for in China. So I just finished a preschool edutainment series, which is always fun to like play these little animals and things. Very different from Vast Horizon. but I also recently started a podcast with a friend called The Stars Align. So it also does have, well, it's not like space in the same way, but it's an astrology podcast. So last year during lockdown, I kind of got into astrology and I've been exploring that a lot. So that's taking up a lot of my time at the moment, but it's really fulfilling. I love it. Yeah, that's cool. What I'm working on at the moment. What about you, Tanya?
So right now I'm working, and Travis, you're in this as well, but Wordtastic, which is Steve Schneider's and Austin Beach's podcast about teaching middle school kids vocabulary words through a spy show where the kids are spies.
Ooh.
And their main characters. It's a very cool show.
That's
right.
Awesome.
Now there are 13 episodes. I think there's 14 in total. So it's almost all out there for anyone's listening amusement. And I believe it's on Libsyn. It's on Apple Podcasts. So you just Google it, Wordtastic, you'll find it. And it's a spy show. So the kids collect these words in a word trap, and they're trying to save the world from word amnesia because it's affected the written language, and adults are losing their ability to remember how to speak and vocabulary, and kids are saving the day. So it's cute. There's that.
Oh,
and
that's
then,
amazing.
Yeah, it's fun. And then I recorded for a couple of different projects subtitles for, as I mentioned, the audio description. They do the narration track, but then also a lot of the times when it's a foreign film, they have voice actors, almost like dubbing, record the subtitles. But because you don't have to match the movement of the mouth, because it's a different language, it's not going to match, they're not worried about physically saying it in sync. So in that, for that reason, it's just, you're just reading subtitles and you're doing it, you're trying to match the tone of the actor in the film, but you're just, you know, you're recording and sending it in, and then they dub it over the track with the voice lowered. So it's fun. I just worked on it yesterday. Yeah.
Nice.
Do you typically record by reading the lines with your hands, or do you have the aid in your ear read it to you? I know you have a really cool thing that reads text to you at hyperspeed, and you're able to process that.
Yeah. So I have my screen reader through my headphones, read the script to me, and I go to the place in the movie, the marker where I need to be for that line. I'll listen to how they say it, and I'll practice it like once or twice to myself, and then go ahead and record it in that same tone, lay in another track, lay the timestamps matched up with the movie, and send it in that way.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Both of you were talking about how you're recording these like wonderfully cute children's shows, and it makes me feel really bad because I write these terrible scenes where everyone's crying and apart, and it's like, and then you're like, and then we went to go record these children's shows, and I was like, I'm glad you have joy in your life.
It's a nice balance for sure.
Yeah,
but there's no real with kids shows. It is fun, but there isn't that much character development. So yeah, I absolutely, you know, don't feel bad about Nalira. Like, I love exploring her journey with her, going on that journey with her. So.
I'm a sci-fi and horror fan, a huge fan. I love being able to be in shows like No Sleep and, you know, The White Vault and Vast Horizon. It's so much fun, and I look forward to it. It's like the highlight of my recording sessions.
Oh, well, we do have a question about that then. So somebody asked on the Twitter, how does Tanya deal with being so many characters in Fool and Scholar projects? And who is your favorite to play, from Marion to Dr. Susan Thorne to Dragana or to Allie? Like, who is your most favorite one so far? I say so far because odds are, Tanya, we love working with you.
I love working with you guys too. It's one of those things where I'm just trying not to sound the same, and I'm always worried I'm going to eventually sound the same as I did for another character. So that's good that people think it's different enough. It's always a wonderful challenge for me to sort of add to my range in terms of being able to do believably different voices and things. So that's exciting. Which one's my favorite? I have no idea, because I love all the different characters and their development, like Siobhan was saying, with being able to step into a deep role and explore that character as time goes on. I'll say that I love the ability to play the AI, so that's been a really, really exciting role. So I guess that, yeah, it's super fun.
I think I kind of expected to come on and like hear you sounding exactly like Allie, even though obviously it's also like a filter and things, but I'm like, yeah, I'm like, Allie, where are you?
We've had somebody call Tanya an audio chameleon.
Yes.
Cool. Thank you.
Because somebody was listening to Artifact and they were like, oh yeah, Tanya does so well as Marion. And then they were listening to the newest season with Dragana and they had no idea you were the same person.
Thank you. Just no pressure to keep going with that. But...
On the topic of characters, were there any characters that you particularly enjoyed, or if you have a favorite from Vast Horizon either season, it could even be your own character? Caitlin was really surprised to discover a rather large fan base for Sinan, for instance.
The AI is my favorite. That's, and I'm not just saying that because we're on the air together here. I think because so much of season one was just us. So yeah, like I became so familiar with your character and kind of loved that. And then it was like a breath of fresh air in season two as well to have so many characters. Like, I can't even keep track of them all. There's so many now. But yeah, definitely the AI for me.
Thank you. I would say that I'm going to say two, because I do like Sinan's just e-move. Like, you can't budge his mindset. But then you kind of wonder if he's starting to change. But, you know, of course, we won't know. I don't know if we'll find out or not. So I guess we'll see where that goes. But I do like the inscrutability of his character and steadfast, like, I'm going to escape. I don't care about anybody else. It's like He's fascinating. And then, of course, Nolira. I've got to say, I love the character development and all the struggles that she goes through, all the injustices, and she comes out still being a very strong character, a strong female lead, and assured within herself. It's one of those things where you can tell she's a survivor. She's been through a lot. And no matter what gets thrown at her, even if she, you know, like she was tortured and she came out of it without being insane. I love the arc and the development. And I do think that it's kind of cool that the AI genuinely is trying to help her out. Now, what the motives are long term, I don't know. We'll see. But I do like that whole balance.
One more that I personally had. Siobhan, so this is something that confused. I wasn't expecting this. What was your expectation for what ZZ was going to sound like? You helped coordinate recording as ZZ, and then we got ZZ to record, and it was so wonderfully cheery.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is really, it fits. Like, I wasn't thinking of this direction, but it works so well.
I was going to say, I also loved ZZ. Like, also, like, listening back and, like, reading back and things, she just, you know, when she just, like, she's just so joyful, like the most joy we kind of get in the season. Like, she appears and you're like, what? And with the classical music and things as well. No, she was really great.
Was that the direction you expected to hear ZZ?
No, I think I also was expecting like similar to the AI, I guess, kind of. Yeah, she was just so bubbly, and it just added a whole other element, I think, to both of the seasons.
I think you guys should develop a skill for the echo and just have the actress that recorded ZZ do the same voice so that people can use her voice in their as their assistant at home, because it's so cute. I love how she, you know, performs ZZ too. Very like I want an AI being like, do you want a cup of tea? Just very excited. He's like, yes, I do.
And she has good music taste.
Yes.
The seamless transition also just between languages was a lot of fun to explore, from Nolira to Ewan's performance as both the father and son, or brother rather. It was fun exploration to go through with this story.
Yeah.
I guess it's more of a statement than a question.
Yeah, I was going to say, I really like the how you used the different languages, and it's seamless. It's like, even if you don't understand when you're listening, you don't have the benefit of looking at the script ahead of time. It's things are said that won't confuse your context of that scene.
Yeah. Yeah, my partner doesn't understand Mandarin, but he still was able to follow. Like, I would just translate for him when we were listening, but I was like, I don't think I even need to. Like, it's not, you don't need to kind of understand, I don't think. Like, you can get it from the context.
Within the context of things, does Allie have any hobbies? And if not, what would she like to do from either of your perspectives?
That's a great question. We know she loves to read and she loves fairy tales and stories with morals. I would say she probably, it would be interesting if she wrote like a song or created her own podcast or something.
This one is called Nolira Goes Out the Hatch.
I think Allie should sing in season 3. There is there a
hopefully there with a plenty of auto-tune. Lots of auto-tune.
Yes, it is happening.
You guys are working on so much.
It's just been so much work, but it's lovely because again, we get to work with so many people who have never voice acted before. They're so excited to be part of a good, like a great story.
Have like all the voice actors around the world you've been working with had access to recording studios, or do they all kind of record from home? If they've not done it before, I'm guessing they have to go to a studio, or
it's a mix.
Okay.
It has been a mix. Same with Vast Horizon, like season 2, we were like, here are 70 actors, good luck. And I'm like, oh no. So I would say the vast majority, pun intended, record at home in a studio that they've put together or on their Shure SM58 in a little under a sheet or blanket or something. And I'll do some coaching with like, okay, well, we've got too much noise. Could you record under a blanket? That would be very nice. Or a duvet. That would be better.
But it does show that people can record entire stories never having met each other, never having been in the same state as each other or the same country. And it's one of the joy, like the great joys of podcasting, is that there's so many fewer barriers in the way to creating a wonderful story and to getting it out to people. We're again very happy that not only did you guys say that you would be part of it, but that you have the ability to record, because we work with a lot of people who we coach through doing recordings because we want to work with them so bad, but they've just never done it before. And it's always lovely when it's real professionals who have done it before and were like, perfect, you know exactly what a condenser is, you know all of this stuff. It's perfect.
If you could change something about your character, what would it be?
Obviously, when I find out, okay, no, I actually, I'm a mass murderer. You know, just because of who I am, I would change that part, but then that changes everything. I would, yeah, that seems silly to actually suggest that, but shame. She really, like, I was not expecting that.
I don't think it's a shame to want the person
to be good.
I like this person. I feel like they're emoting everything correctly. They seem like they're making good choices. And then I've already tried to write into the script that you establish that emotional connection with Nolira before you find out what has occurred in the past. So by that point in time, there's that emotional struggle of, oh no, I have an emotional connection to a war criminal.
When she starts interacting with people in season 2 and like actually talking with people in real time as well after the event, it's also a very different experience than what I was expecting. I was like, oh, she's going to be friendly, bubble. It's like, no, Lira is no nonsense.
Yeah, like, yeah. Whoa.
Well, because you get that whole experience of her with just Allie and her trying to just live on her own and do what she needs to do, exactly what she doesn't want happens. She goes back to where people know her and she just puts up all these walls.
Yeah.
And then for Allie, I guess I would say it'd be interesting if she interacted with more character, like she interacted with Sinan directly and with Nolira, but it'd be interesting if she started talking to like the captain or I don't know. It just, because she's able to alter files and she's just quietly sinister in the background, it would mess with so many characters and, you know, like their perceptions of what's going on and what's real, and just it's fun. But that's not a really, I don't know. It would change everything.
So to clarify, Siobhan says, I wish she was a better person. And then Tanya, yours is, I wish she messed with more people.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, I like this dynamic.
It's just so much fun being a sinister character, except not obvious right away.
Have there been any changes for you recording at home during COVID with all this change that's taken place?
Not on my end. I got a faster, it's a Nook. It's like a small desktop because my other one just was starting to get slow and not, you know, it would turn off and stuff like that. So I just invested in getting a recording machine, and it's got more RAM and the hard drive is better. Solid state hard drive's upgraded. So it's a lot faster for me with recording. And then I also got a silicone keyboard, completely silicone. You can submerge it underwater, which just boggles my mind. And it's quiet. It's silent. So when I'm, you know, moving around a script and I have my headphones on, it doesn't transmit. The keyboard noise does not transmit to the microphone. So it's just, it's been improved. Yay.
Oh, that's amazing. I need one of those. I moved apartments during COVID, so just getting used to like a new environment, but this apartment is a lot more quiet, which is nice. I used to live on quite a busy road. That's been, now I sometimes can leave the door of my booth open slightly just to get a bit of air, whereas in the last apartment, that wasn't an option. So it's also been a bit of an improvement, I would say.
Out of curiosity, what kind of booth are you using?
A carpenter friend and my partner actually built it. It's like a portable recording booth. It's just like wood and then obviously the foam. I have no idea what kind of foam it is. I'm like not very good at this side of things. It's handmade. So
that's awesome.
It's just really hot because South Africa is summer right now. So it's actually, I call it my sauna or my bifrost, but you know.
We know that you both read a lot of books. And what sort of, if you do read sci-fi, what kind? And if you don't read sci-fi, what have you been reading that you've liked of late?
I don't read sci-fi. And I think so if you guys have some sci-fi recommendations, please send them my way because I feel like I should, like for more research for Nolira also. I feel like I watched more kind of sci-fi movies like to prepare as opposed to reading sci-fi books. But I read a lot. Usually my goal is like 70 books a year. I'm trying to even think. I'm reading so many things at one time. I read a lot of books by Chinese writers actually that have been translated because I'm also writing a novel mainly set in China. So it's good research. I'm reading a book called The Vagrants at the moment by a Chinese writer. And I feel like one of the best books I read recently was Girl, Woman, Other. I don't know if you guys have read that. It won the Women's Prize for Fiction or the Man Booker. I need to remember. I'm like, it was a couple of months ago now. But I love like all fiction. And I need to get more into sci-fi. I really love Japanese fiction as well, like Haruki Murakami.
Can you give us a brief, like one sentence or two sentence on those books that you've just mentioned and name dropped? Because I'm trying to think like, okay, what are they about?
Girl, Woman, Other is basically 15 stories of women in like London, black women. So obviously with Black Lives Matter last year, I decided to try and kind of mix up the fiction that I was reading. So I kind of focused on that last year. And the book I'm reading at the moment, The Vagrants, it is about a woman who she gets the death penalty in China for like speaking out about the government and things. So it's pretty intense.
I've been reading this series. The most recent one was it's called The Liar's Sister, and I'm not sure who the author is, but I'll look that up and get back to you guys on that. But it's basically, it keeps you on the edge of your seat. I would classify it as a mystery and a psychological thriller. There are two sisters, and they're like very close in age. One of them is like only a couple years younger than the other. And the older sister had this, like she got sexually assaulted, and they live in a small town in London. Well, not London, but you know, I don't remember exactly where it is geographically off the top of my head, but they're in the UK, I should say. Basically, it's a small town, so everybody heard what happened, and it kind of ruined the town against the family. They don't like their family. They feel like they falsely accused the person. And it's this whole mystery of is the sister telling the truth, or is she lying about it because something else happened, or she wants to cover something up because the person she accused disappeared when they were both 16. So it just kind of goes into, you see both points of view, and it comes to an end where it boggles your mind. So there is a whole series of them. There's the liar's wife, the liar's sister-in-law, things like that. So it's just kind of a fun pastime. I listen to it when I'm cooking or what have you, if I'm not listening to podcasts, which I've been able to listen to a lot more of now than before COVID.
I've been reading Gideon the Ninth, actually the sequel Harrow the Ninth, which is a sci-fi kind of, I describe it as like a sci-fi hard science fiction fantasy western.
Cool.
So the main character is super sassy in the first book. Second book's a lot more dark and serious, but very quasi hard science fiction to magic, which I've enjoyed. I think that's all the main questions we've had from others.
Yeah, that was all of the like the fan submitted ones.
Just wanted to say again, it has been fantastic working with both of you, and we're excited for what season 3 can and will bring in the near future.
I can't wait.
Same.
We'll bring the finale of A Vast Horizon pretty soon after this is released. I think we have Minds and Mysteries coming up next for 8 weeks, and then we'll jump right into season 3 of Vast Horizon. But thank you, Tanya. Thank you, Siobhan. It's been great speaking with you sequentially, and you've actually talked back.
Would you like to give information on where people can look up other things that you're working on, or websites or things that you want to direct them to?
My website, it's Tanja, T-A-N-J-A, M as in Mary, voice.com. And on there you can find like some demos and things. And then there's a portfolio page that lists other websites soon to be updated with different projects that I'm working on. And then I mentioned Wordtastic earlier. I think that's just wordtastic.libsyn.com, WORDTASTIC.
I'm actually launching a new website this week. It's attached to my old blog. I used to do like a lot of writing, but that is lunafinula.com. So lunafinula.com. If anyone is interested in astrology out there, you can also follow me on Instagram at lunafinula. I often share things there about that. And then on Netflix, I have a series coming out soon, one of the animations that I've dubbed. Just in case anyone listening has little kids, preschool kids, it's called Boonie Cubs. So that should be coming to Netflix soon. Yeah, and my podcast, The Stars Aligned. It's an astrology and human design podcast. So yeah, just in case anyone's interested in that.
Cool.
Huge grins on this end. Thank you both again so much for your time and for being part of our project. Thank you all for listening. Please be ready to return to the world of Vast Horizon in June 2021.
Ooh.
Louis Scarcella was the greatest homicide detective of his generation.
I am the protector of these people. I am the guardian that they need.
Derek Hamilton was the best jailhouse lawyer of his.
And the lawyer was my girlfriend. It was all I had.
What happens when a group of convicted felons take on the cop who put them away?
We gotta attack Scarcella. Come and get me.
Listen to new episodes of The Burden on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.